Once upon a time, there was a little boy called Howard who loved writing stories.
Little Howard dreamed of being a writer, and so he sat and wrote every night. But everything he wrote was fucking shite, yeah. Wubba-dubba-do, wubba-dubba-do. Worst writer in the world, worst writer in the world, worst writer in the world. Suck-ass rubbish writer.
Welcome to the worst writer in the world.
Hooray!
And it's part four of our Supergirl story.
So three more than a Supergirl episode. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
In some ways, the last episode, because this is where we do the end of the movie. But in other ways, only part four of six. And if you sign up to our secret gang for as little as $2 right now, you will get those other two episodes, which we will not be releasing subsequently on this show. We will in the future at some point, but we're going to have a little break from Supergirl here on The Worst Right in the World and release something else because, oh my God, it's been going on for a long time.
Such a long time.
So the last two episodes of this story are us reading the first draft script and seeing how it's different. Yeah. But you could get that right now if you join the gang.
You could say there's actually no proof we'll ever release it in this main feed. Maybe it will never happen. So the only way to
forget.
Hear it is to
we
go
might
join the secret gang. Yeah. For only $2 or two English pounds, depending on, you know,
absolutely
stuff
where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on whether you believe that Patreon understands currency exchange or not, which they absolutely don't because they're not the same. They're not the same. Be American, it's cheaper.
Yes.
And if you join up to the gang, you get this thing called a private RSS feed, which means you don't have to mess around with Patreon, which is kind of an annoying website. You can just get this private RSS feed, put it into your normal podcast player, and you get all of the Secret Gang audio, including whatever you've signed up for, whether it's Worst Writer Shows, Gret Binchleaf, Man by Cow, or, you know, it all just comes onto the same feed. So then you can just press play and listen for
hours,
days,
weeks.
Actual days, yeah, weeks if you go a little bit higher. So it's all very easy to use as well. But if you're sticking around and want to just and going to listen to episode four now, then what you need to know is that in the story so far, Supergirl lost a power source for her city and had to go to Earth to find it. Unfortunately, before she could get there in her spaceship, a witch found the power source and started using it for villainy. And the last thing we saw in the last episode, we saw the witch enchanted a hot gardener to fall in love with her. But then, unfortunately, through a series of mishaps, the gardener fell in love with Supergirl's secret identity, Linda Lee, instead. Not Supergirl. He's not interested in Supergirl at all.
No.
But he is very much into Supergirl in a wig. That's his idea of heaven.
Yeah.
So Supergirl has taken the gardener, Ethan. She's taken him to a beach really far away for some reason. And meanwhile, Selina's watching him on her magic mirror because she's a witch, got to have a magic mirror, right? And getting really annoyed about the fact that Ethan appears to be in love with this fake schoolgirl. But also hanging out with Supergirl. No idea if those two are connected. So Selina just made a coconut appear out of the sky and bean Ethan on the head unconscious. And that's basically where we left it. With Ethan unconscious because of a coconut, Supergirl just kind of standing there looking at him, and Selina getting annoyed while looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's
Are you
the
sure
deal.
This film exists, or did you make it up? Because like, it doesn't sound very real, does it?
Did I mention that Selina lives in a ghost train, by the way? Like a working ghost train that goes around her kitchen for no reason whatsoever. It's just like trundling around. Did I mention that? All right, so let's get on with the final part, the end of the exciting Supergirl story, shall we?
Yes, please.
Meanwhile, Selina is unhappy because she's not omnipotent. Bianca suggests they call Nigel, as he's demonstrated such knowledge and power in this film. Like when he said some things at a picnic. Or when he said some things at a party. Or when he came to their door and said some things. He'll be super useful. He certainly won't just turn up with a feathery stick and claim it's a magic wand. All right, back to the scene of Supergirl's head-conking spree. She's decided to try and wake Ethan up using the famous tried-and-tested method of rubbing some coconut water on his lips. But it doesn't work. Unfortunately, that doesn't wake people up who are unconscious because they've been hit by a flying coconut. Cut to Selena asking Nigel to help her. Because time makes no sense in this movie, right? We're cutting back and forth between Supergirl and Ethan in real time, and Selena and Bianca, who've had enough time to get Nigel to come over. Selena wants Nigel to bring Ethan to her so Supergirl will follow, and then Selena can murder her.
Oh.
But Nigel is suspicious. He thinks Selena just wants to nail Ethan, which, to be fair to her, she has shown no signs of wanting at all. It's actually one of the redeeming features, I think, of this movie, is that Selena doesn't fancy Ethan at all. She's just trying to prove a point. At the beginning, she says, like, I'll get everyone to love me. I'll try it out on this stupid fucking gardener.
Oh, right, yeah.
But she never really, and then after that, like, she's just stubborn. She's just annoyed. So then Nigel picks up the nutshell with a spider in, and that's part of her love spell. In the love spell, it's like, put the spider in the nutshell, and if it escapes, the love spell will wear off. That's part of it, right? And Nigel picks it up and he's like playing with it. And Selena gets very nervous and tells him to put it down. Because if he lets the spider out, Ethan won't be in love with Linda Lee anymore. Which that's what Selena wants, isn't it? Isn't that what she wants? But Nigel, acting like he's doing something to hurt Selena, lets the magic spider out of the shell, which Selena is really upset by. What? Why? What? Did they forget? Did they forget what, like, everything that's going on in the movie?
Oh, it's because she wants Ethan to as a trap to bring Supergirl to her. That's why she's upset, isn't it?
Yeah, but she doesn't need Ethan to be in love with Linda Lee for that to work. That has nothing to do with it, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, meanwhile, Supergirl is trying to leave Ethan by a lake in the middle of nowhere with only a Dodgem to drive home in.
Yeah.
But he wants to know that Linda is okay because he loves her. He does love her. And we know it's not a magic spell anymore. Now it's a real delusion.
Oh.
Yeah, Ethan's really insistent that he has to go and save Linda. So to show him that Linda can look after herself, Supergirl kisses him. And while he can't recognise a woman if she puts a wig on, he does recognise the kiss from that time he forced himself on her earlier. Because people in movies can always recognise someone by a kiss, right?
That's true.
Like, even if someone's had their consciousness put in another person's body with different lips, it's like, oh, Steve, no one else could lip me like you.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm calling bollocks on this. I bet most of our listeners, most of you, could not recognise a snog from your lifelong partner blindfolded. Like, if you had to put a blindfold on and kiss your partner, some random idiot and a dog, right, there'd be a 1 in 3 chance you'd choose the dog.
It's true. A lot of people kiss the same. I've kissed a lot of people.
Yeah, they're not all uniquely individual. Right?
Some of them are really bad, obviously. There's a really bad at kissing or good at kissing. That's kind of it.
Yeah, I think that the idea is that it's like familiar, but sometimes someone's just good at it and it feels familiar immediately, right? So when you're like, I am your husband in a dog's body, just kiss me and you'll know.
Yeah.
That dog might just be really good at kissing.
Yeah.
All right, cut to Selena and Nigel doing magic together. Selena using her power ball and Nigel using his feathery stick that he claims is a magic wand. But when he uses it, he just shakes it a bit and then the Powerball does all the work.
Yeah.
So I'm not convinced. But let's have a look at the novelization again, because the novelization describes the Burundi Wand. That's what it's called.
Ah, yes.
It was a thing of horror and roused the most awful terror in those who saw it, especially the uninitiated. Just the sight of it had caused 6 heart attacks, a 23-car pileup, and 2 suicides.
Jesus.
Yeah, some people are really scared of feathery sticks. Right?
Yeah, cars. Cars are scared of it. Yeah. So weird.
So they teleport Ethan away from Supergirl and into Selena's bed, chained up and spread-eagled. So, okay, maybe now it seems like Selena does want him for sex.
Mm.
Meanwhile, about 5 minutes after Ethan disappears, Supergirl finally notices that she's just kissing the air and flies off to go and find him. Part 4. Squirt.
Yay!
Selina steals the magic feathery stick out of Nigel's hand and uses it to make a mess of his makeup, especially his lipstick.
Mm.
She's meant to make him old, right? But it's such a bad makeup job that it's just like, your makeup's rubbish now, Nigel. Then she uses her new super magic to make a big mountain with a castle on top. Then we get another pointless scene with Jimmy fucking Olsen where he goes, look, it's a mountain with a castle on top. Mm. Yeah, we can see that, Jimmy, you useless bucket of cheese. Why don't you go back to Metropolis and explain to your colleague, Lois Lane, how you're dating her teenage sister? Maybe then she'll murder you and this film will be much better for it. In fact, could you get Superman to fly around the world and make time go backwards so that Lois can murder you before you did Superman 3 and this film so you're not in either of them? Anyway, Supergirl flies straight to the castle and walks in through the patio doors.
Mm.
She looks around a bit going, what is this castle? And then she finds Ethan chained up in a fireplace but walks into a trap.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no. It's those bits of glass that Zod and his mates were trapped in Superman 1 and then escaped from in Superman 2.
Yeah.
You know, remember that thing that Kryptonians put them in?
Yeah, the Phantom Zone.
That is exactly, yeah,
that's
absolutely
what that is, the Phantom Zone.
You think so, but what we learn from this film is that actually that's just a thing that takes you to the Phantom Zone. So maybe Zod and his chums were never in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
Because this is just the bus. This is the bus to the Phantom Zone.
Where did Selina get a Phantom Zone bus from anyway?
That's what I want to know. Where does she get this Kryptonian technology from? That's very impressive stuff. And it is exactly the tech that like in Superman 1, that happens on Krypton. They put them in the glass thing on Krypton. So there's some impressive magic she's got.
Mm.
I guess she is using a piece of Kryptonian technology in the Omegahedron, so maybe that's why.
Ah.
Maybe that does make sense. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
All right, so then the glass flies off through space. It takes Supergirl away.
Yeah.
And then it smashes and releases her in a tar pit.
Yeah.
She tries to fly, but lands on her face.
Shit.
Picks up a rock and crushes it so hard that she makes herself bleed.
Mm.
Like, fucking hell, Supergirl. Don't try so hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can work out that I can't crush a rock without injuring myself in the process.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she shouts, where am I? Just like Paul McGann, Doctor Who.
Because she is him. Because he is one of those characters.
Yeah, she is.
And, he is a mish out of water.
Then she falls in a pool of tar like a complete wazzock and kind of like drags herself halfway out and then falls asleep. That's what happens next. Like half in the tar pit, she's just like, oh, I'll just have a nap. So I guess the Phantom Zone makes you really tired for some reason. Back in Midvale, Selina has enacted fascism. Just in this one little town, she's driving around in her open car with black helmeted stormtroopers guarding her and Nigel chained to the back of her car for some reason.
Yeah.
Lucy Lane has already organised a protest and starts yelling. She's yelling at Selina. And Jimmy Olsen tries to mansplain protest to her. Right? He's like, it's not a good time to express yourself. That's his line. What, like to the face of the person you're protesting? Yeah, better do it alone at home with the doors locked where no one can see you. Thanks, Jimmy Olsen, for your insight into how protest should work.
Well, I mean, like it worked. It taught everyone that that is the way, best way to do it, and that's why the world's such a terrible place. Because
that's why, yeah.
I never go out and protest. I sit at home and complain about it on Twitter.
Lucy, have you thought about tweeting about this instead of yelling at the fascist dictator's face? I mean, she might put us in a birdcage. Have you thought about that? She might put us in a birdcage. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid, Jimmy. She'll never put us in a birdcage. Pretty sure she will put us in a birdcage. Anyway, Lucy's upset because her friend Linda disappeared the day that mountain showed up, right? Mm. So actually, I'm thinking all this happened pretty quickly, but maybe some time has passed. Because you don't say the day that mountain showed up if it's like yesterday.
Right.
It's got to be a while, right? To use a phrase like, she disappeared the day that mountain showed up. It's got to be at least weeks ago, right?
Yeah, well, it takes a long time, as we know, for those glass sheets to get to the Phantom Zone.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Because Zod never made it.
It took a long time, yeah.
Good point.
So you reckon it's been 30 or 40 years?
Yeah.
All right, well, whatever it is, if it's weeks or years, everyone in Argo City is definitely dead.
Yes.
So Supergirl's evil plan has succeeded.
That's true.
Anyway, so Selina has her stormtroopers arrest Lucy and Jimmy. And Jimmy shouts, "Nobody messes around with Jimmy Olsen." Which might be true, but only because no one cares about him or knows who he is. And also, the stormtroopers put them both in a van. They stick them in the back of a van, but don't bother closing the door. And Lucy and Jimmy just kind of sit there obediently. Nobody messes around with Jimmy Olsen, unless you put him in a van, in which case he will stay there.
Yeah.
It'll do what you want, that's fine. Cut back to Supergirl sleeping in some tar. But a mysterious figure drags her out. And when she wakes up, she's in a room, kind of in a room. It's got a big bowl of green goo in it anyway. A spooky hand approaches from behind, grabs her. She's startled, but oh no, it's just Zoltar messing about. Thanks, Zoltar. Couldn't you have said something first?
A little surprise.
Zoltar says, "Squirt." But he doesn't explain what he means by it. He's certainly acting pretty fucking high, but then again, this is Peter O'Toole, so maybe he isn't acting.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe the reason no one explains or even comments on the fact that he keeps saying squirt is because it wasn't in the script and no one was sure why he was doing it. He just picked up the misting bottle they use when actors need to look sweaty and started squirting it into his mouth and saying squirt. And they couldn't persuade him to stop because he was fucking out of his mind on cocaine. Also, when he offers Supergirl some, when he's like, squirt, her reaction is more convincing than any of her other acting in this movie, because she is not acting. She's just like, what do you mean? Anyway, Zoltar says he's been in the Phantom Zone forever, which is weird, because he was in Argo City a few days ago.
Yeah.
They have a conversation about how fucking boring Argo City was and how, while things may be bad here in the Phantom Zone, at least they're not in Argo City. Supergirl tells Zoltar that she deliberately took ages finding the Omegahedron and now everyone's dead. They laugh. All right, I might be paraphrasing a little bit here, but that's what I took from this scene. Cut to Selina's castle. She has Ethan properly enchanted to love her now. She magics three bird cages dangling from the ceiling containing Nigel, Lucy Lane and Jimmy, waste of a perfectly good birdcage Olsen. And they're just in little cages with no way to eat or drink or go to the toilet. So she hasn't really thought through the logistics of her prison system, has she? I mean, Sally Edmead might be happy with a throne room that rains piss because all your prisoners are dangling in ceiling cages, but neither of Selina's personalities have shown any sign of liking that. All right, anyway, now I've got another extract from the novelisation. And also, there's a very similar conversation to this in the director's cut of this movie.
Yeah.
So they did actually film this because the novelisation is very based on the director's cut. Basically, Lucy and Jimmy and Nigel are dangling in the cages, and Lucy and Jimmy Olsen have this conversation. So Lucy says, "We're in all this bad trouble because of me and my motor mouth." And Jimmy says, "Golly, you were brave, Lucy." "You were too, Jimmy," she whispered dishonestly. I might have added that. "I want you to know something. If we die, I'm proud of you."
Wow.
"Lucy, I want you to know something too. I've been crazy about you for years."
Oh, my God.
By the way, she's 17.
Yeah.
"Remember when you used to visit your sister in the press room and smudge up my camera lens?"
Oh, no.
"Smudge up his camera lens? What, did she have grubby fingers from all the candy she was eating because she was 11?
Yeah.
She smiled sadly. "Didn't you know? I was just trying to get your attention, Jimmy." "You were? You mean all this time I've wasted? You mean you, me, we could have been an us?" "Well, not legally, Jimmy Olsen." And then what she says to that is the best line. She says, "You bet your sweet foot, Jimmy." "You bet your sweet foot." Is that a phrase that Americans use? Because I've never heard it anywhere.
No, it's Jimmy Austin's famously got one sweet foot, one sour one.
Oh, no, I sucked your sour foot, Jimmy. Oh, yuck.
But they are in us. I thought they were dating. Isn't that the point of them in this movie, that they are dating in this film?
Yeah, but I guess not.
Just visiting her as a friend.
Yeah, just that normal thing that adult men do to teenage girls. Go and visit them as a friend. And then that other normal thing that adult men do to teenage girls, try and date them when they're only 11.
Still remember when you used to come to the office and Lois would give you some A4 paper and some crayons.
And I was just trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
When I drew pictures of you.
I drew pictures of you with a square head and like 3 ears.
You mean if I just said something then when you were drawing pictures with your crayons, we could have got married?
Yeah.
Well, no. No, just that I'm just saying I had a crush on you as a child. You mean when you were a child and you had a crush on me, if I'd only known, I could have got something started? No, Jimmy, that's not what this conversation is. Yeah. Anyway, so Nigel makes an acerbic comment about how unimaginative Selena is. And we cut back to Zoltar moaning and Supergirl shouting about how she'll never give up. Supergirl finds that Zoltar made a horse out of a rock. And she says, he hasn't given up. A tree, a horse, he keeps making things from Earth. Zoltar says, the place intrigues me. Supergirl says, well, then let's go there. Certainly. When is the next train? And Supergirl says, what is this train? But Zoltar says there's no way out of the Phantom Zone.
Apart from that big hole in the ceiling. It's kind of like midnight smoke, isn't it? He's been trapped there all that time, didn't see that big chimney.
He also says that the Phantom Zone is not as empty as it seems, because it seems like there's just the two of them there. But he says there's loads of Kryptonian criminals there. Right, Kryptonian criminals, cryptiminals, cryptiminals. But they all live over the hill, so I guess they're all like avoiding Zoltar. So, like, you know, how bad is he that all the hardened cryptiminals don't want to live on the same side as the hill as him? What did he do? It's because he's always like touching young girls. He's like stroking her hair earlier. Is he the prison nonce? What's going on here?
Yeah,
are they all avoiding him because he's the nonce?
Well, he's hiding, isn't he, if he's the nonce? And the nonce knows you don't want to hang with the others. It's really nice over the hill as well. We've not mentioned that. It's fucking beautiful over there.
Like, got trees and horses and everything.
If you think this shitty black rock cave with like tar pits is better than Argo City, wait till you go over there. Candy trees.
Yeah, but they won't let me because, you know, all that nonsense. Anyway, actually, there is a way to escape, but it will probably kill them. And this line is from the novelization. Zoltar says, we can't. We would die in the attempt. A death of such horror that living here would seem like a paradise. And I've added a bit. I've imagined this next bit, right? What can be worse than the Phantom Zone, Zoltar? You fall into a big spinning vortex and then you get reincarnated as a fairground machine that grants wishes. And when 12-year-old boys wish to be big, you magically turn them into Tom Hanks. Oh, Zoltar, I'm sure that won't happen, said Supergirl wrongly.
It's good. Big's part of the Supergirl-iverse now.
Yeah, well, and that's why Zoltar can give wishes, because he's probably still got that he's still got the second power source in his other pocket, and he can do magic with it like Selena does. Yeah, it makes sense. So they walk through the now windy Phantom Zone, because before it was very still, but now it's very windy, to the vortex, the quantum vortex. That's what they call it.
Sounds a bit like a
science word than a descriptive word put together in a way that makes no sense. Sounds a bit like photon milk to me. Anyway, the vortex is terrifying and cool, and one of the many things that really stuck in my memory when I saw this as a kid. Right, this is this movie's hole in the sand where you get digested over 1,000 years. This is this movie's equivalent of a woman being sucked into a computer and turned into a robot. It seems like it's dumb if you see it as an adult for the first time, but as a kid, this was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway, Supergirl and Zoltar try to climb their way out of the Phantom Zone, and Selina watches and attempts to stop them with fireballs.
How?
she uses magic to send fireballs. She gets her book out and she's like, where's a spell that can get people in the Phantom Zone? She literally says that. Yeah. I need a spell that can attack people in the Phantom Zone. She finds one and then she sends fireballs, and one of them hits Peter O'Toole in the hair and knocks him backwards. Supergirl tries to save him, but he's too stoned and dies in the vortex. Fucking hell, J.K. Rowling, why'd you have to kill off all your interesting characters? Mm. I don't care what Ron fucking Weasley did 19 years later. Tell me about Lupin and Sirius hanging out with Zoltar in the Phantom Zone. Oh, you can't because you pointlessly killed them all, and now we just have to get flipping Hermione talking to Ethan and Nigel about wizard politics.
I mean, yeah, she's just got like, oh, pass me a spell book, go through the index, fireball in the Phantom Zone. Oh, there it is. I wasn't expecting it to be there, to be honest, but apparently that is a spell.
That is basically what she does. That is exactly what happens. Fireball in the Phantom Zone. Okay. Well, fireball in that vortex that is an exit to the Phantom Zone. Very specific spell. Don't know why it's here in this Earth book of spells.
That is the it's the Death Star exhaust pipe, isn't it, that she's climbing up, really.
Anyway, Supergirl escapes the Phantom Zone. Hooray! And luckily, the door to the Phantom Zone leads straight into Selina's throne room. Selina makes some spikes appear in the floor beneath Lucy Lane, who Supergirl cares about, and two pointless men she presumably doesn't. And then she makes the... You know, she makes the cages fall, and Supergirl, who has a lot of powers that she could use, you know, she could use flying and super speed and super strength to save them. That'd be, but she's like, no, I'm going to use my ice breath to Mr. Freeze the spikes out of existence instead. Unfortunately, she doesn't take the time to say, what killed the dinosaurs, the Ice Age, first? But maybe that's because she knows it didn't.
Yeah.
Supergirl releases Nigel, Lucy and Jimmy, why in God's name am I still here, Olsen, and tells them to get out of there quickly, so they all go and stand in the corner. Selina completely flummoxes Supergirl by making the floor wobbly. If only she had a power that could help with this. That could mean that standing on a wobbly floor wasn't a problem anymore. But no, she keeps falling over and then crawls on her belly, and at no point does she remember she can fly. Supergirl tries to upset Selina by telling her she's got no friends. It's true, that's what happens here. Selina makes a shadow monster appear and it stretches Supergirl.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We all know that Supergirl's main weakness is being stretched. It looks like Supergirl is defeated for about 10 seconds, but then she's okay. Nigel shouts, confront her with it. It's the only way. Which apparently means... fly around her really fast so you create a tornado.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Like, since Supergirl is flying around Selina really fast,
yeah.
Is she trying to make her go back in time?
She's trying to make Lois Lane come out of her. That's what's happening there.
No, the effect of flying around her really fast appears to be sweeping up Selina and her alternate personality, Bianca, and trapping them in a mirror. Supergirl finally gets the Omega Hedron and says she has to return it to where it belongs. She doesn't say she has to save the inhabitants of Argo City because she knows it is way too late for that. And also, she never wanted to. She's just taking it to put it back where it belongs.
Yeah.
Before she goes, she makes Lucy and Jimmy, oh God, please someone send me home, Olsen, promise not to tell anyone they saw her. For some reason. Why is the existence of Supergirl a secret? She's been flying around and meeting all kinds of people like, in costume, but now she's all like, don't tell anyone I've been here, will you? It's be really bad if someone finds out. Really, apparently, the real reason is because they were worried about making more Superman movies where no one tells Superman that Supergirl exists.
Right.
That was the reason. So when in Superman 4, no one goes, have you seen your cousin? Like Jimmy Olsen doesn't turn up and go, oh yeah, I've been spending a bit of time with your cousin.
Yeah.
Like, but that doesn't matter, does it? That could happen off screen. Just because it doesn't happen in the movie doesn't mean it never happens. But no, they put this in. This is the thing they worried about the logic of.
Yeah.
Not any of the things inside this movie making sense with each other, but something that might happen in Superman 4. Anyway, this film has one last try at making me believe that there's a meaningful connection between Ethan and Supergirl and fails. Also, Ethan now has his third completely different personality. So he went from hot but rude dumbass at the start to loquacious poet in the middle, and now he is calm, reasonable, intelligent guy. Completely unrecognisable. It could be three different fucking actors doing these three parts. So Supergirl flies out of the castle on the mountain just before it disappears. And Ethan, as she leaves, Ethan says, "Goodbye, Linda." Right, as she flies away, in a manner that suggests this is a big reveal. Like that, you know, even though he's said that he knows twice already at this point, like he's come out and said it twice. He's like, we know that he knows. So it's really odd the way they put in this big kind of goodbye, Linda moment. Yeah. Supergirl triumphantly flies back underwater and goes down that binary chute that no one could possibly survive all the way to Argo City. We don't see her go in. Just the lights coming back on, which is a weird choice, right? Considering that this was supposed to be her whole motivation for the film. They spent ages at the start like establishing this city and its inhabitants. We met several of them. You think we might like to see them all saved, you know? unless they're all dead. Unless they're all fucking dead. Because Supergirl took so long on purpose because she hates it there. So my theory, what actually happened, what's really happening here, is that she went in, switched the lights on, and like she could see all the skeletons of everyone she ever knew, and like Doctor Who's there going, "Everybody's dead, Ace. Look at the skeletons. Look at them skeletons everywhere." And she went, "What are these skeletons, Doctor Who?" And then she flew back to Earth to bone her cousin or whatever. In a sense, it's like kind of no wonder they didn't include that at the end of the film. Right?
It would be confusing.
Like, yeah, confusing and kind of depressing. And like, what kind of idiot would end a story like that?
Yeah.
Little Howard dreamed of being a writer. And so he sat to write every night. But everything he wrote was fucking shite, yeah. Wubba-dubba-do, wubba-dubba-do, worst writer in the world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Worst Writer in the World. And thank you for listening to this little story about Supergirl, these four episodes that we dragged out about the 1984 movie Supergirl. Did you enjoy it, Howard?
I did, but I thought we could have dragged it out for at least two more episodes.
Well, guess what? We did.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah, surprise. Ooh. Because there's also a first draft script of the movie that I found, which we went through and talked about the interesting differences and read some extracts from, which is currently available to our secret gang on Patreon.
Can hear it now.
So if you would like that, you can get it now for just $2.
Oh, that's the $2 tier. Oh my gosh, that's
yeah, so because
cheap.
Basically, join for $2 and you get any stories that we release on Worst Writer, you'll get them as like all the episodes immediately. Mm-hmm. So like ages ago when we started Supergirl, our gang got all six episodes.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Those final two episodes of Supergirl, we're not going to release for a little while because we want to give you some other stuff on the Worst Writer in the World show, as it's famously called.
Because some people might say that listening to us talk about Supergirl for 12 weeks is a bit...
might be a bit too long, like pushing it a bit far. So, yeah, we will come back and we will release them in the distant future. But if you want to listen to them now and a lot of other stuff besides, all you got to do is sign up for $2 and you will immediately get your hands on an enormous amount of stuff, not just Worst Writer, but also Man by Cow episodes, which are exclusive to the gang. Gret Binchleaf stories, entire books.
Yeah, we've just finished the latest Gret Binchleaf story, Murder on the Melon Express.
Yeah,
you should
although
join...
that one's not available to $2. You have to pay $7.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. I'm saying to these people, don't pay $2. Okay. Don't skimp when you can like get greatness for just an extra $5. American British dollars.
You could sign up for two American British dollars and get loads of stuff for that level. And then if you enjoy it and like it and feel good about it, then you could upgrade the next month to $7 and get an enormous amount more, including all those extra Gret Binchleaf chapters and the Secret Gang podcast, the whole Secret Gang podcast. Not to mention things like Mr. Fluckcast and the Mike and Brian tapes. There's just loads of stuff.
Ooh.
But hey, if you're in the mood for something slightly different and you don't like Howard, right?
Yeah.
Then why not listen to the audiobook that I read by Petra Jacob, which is available from Audible, I think, exclusively at the moment, although it will be available in other places eventually. And you can get that for, you know, you can sign up and for your free trial and get it for free if you haven't already, or you can spend a credit on it, or you can buy it for $7.99. It's not super expensive, and it's a full book, and it's really good, and it's got me reading it and doing one of the characters nothing at all like Tom Baker Doctor Who, like completely like one of the main characters doesn't sound even slightly like Tom Baker Doctor Who, and I definitely didn't have to redo lines when he accidentally just turned into Tom Baker Doctor Who. That's not a part of it at all.
That's knock a part of it. Knock, knock, who's there? Tom Baker Doctor Who, a part of it, it is.
That's correct. But remember, Howard's not involved in this, so don't want to hear jokes like that.
No.
This is your opportunity.
Yeah, but right, if you do like Howard, why not go on Amazon Prime and waste some money on a movie called Forget Me Not? That would be a
you should buy
useful.
Forget Me Not, definitely. Yeah.
I won't receive any of that money. If you'd like to see Forget Me Not, why not contact me and I will send you a copy from Amazon, because it probably only costs about 50p, I think.
Okay, so buy Forget Me Not, buy sign up to the Secret Gang, where you can also watch us watch Forget Me Not.
Which
is a much better way to watch it, isn't
do
it?
That.
Don't watch the movie, watch us watching it, which you can get on Secret Gang. And buy the audiobook that I read, which is called The Catford Catastrophe Zone by Petra Jacob, and do it all now. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye,
Milk.
He's a stupid, suck-ass, rubbish writer. Yeah.